Numbers 11. I'm reading through the book of Numbers in my Bible reading, and you know there's a lot of numbers in Numbers? Wow, there's a lot of numbers in Numbers. You go along and you read and you read and you read, and there's just numbers. I guess that's why they named the book Numbers. Does that make sense? Makes sense to me. When you read it, you'll see why. There's a lot of numbers mentioned in the book of Numbers. Tribes and their numbers and all of that. But this is not going to be a message on numbers, but it's going to be a message out of the book of Numbers, chapter 11. If you can stand with me, stand as I read verses 1 through 9. I'll read it out loud. You don't have to. You just kind of follow along, please. Numbers 11, 1 through 9. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. And his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away, and there is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes." And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we could be here tonight. Thank you again for the blessings you've given to us. Thank you, Lord, for, again, the parade yesterday and all the tracts that were given out. And, Lord, we pray that that would not return void, that people would take those tracts. And, Lord, that you would use the Word of God and pierce and penetrate the hearts of the people that read them yesterday. I pray that hundreds and hundreds of people, Lord, read those tracts and that they would be saved and we'd see them in heaven someday. We pray for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit for that. Continue to give us the wisdom, the ideas that we need in order to even make the next parade next year, if we're still here, a success. But, Lord, we did the best we could yesterday. I pray that you'd bless it and I pray that you'd use it for your honor and for your glory. Lord, I pray for the upcoming fair that we're going to be a part of. And as we pass out Bibles and tracts and things, Lord, just to get our name and the Word of God out into this community, I pray that you would give us that wisdom that we need for that. And also bless, Lord, the endeavor of getting the Word of God out. Lord, we pray that you would continue to bless the work here. We pray that you'd give us the wisdom that we need in order to move forward. Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, that we can just be here tonight. We pray for the preaching of your word right now, that you'd bless it and use it for your honor and for your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Children of Israel, of course, are out of the land of Egypt after 430 years of being slaves. And they're on their way to the land of promise, or the land of Canaan. And as they are traveling to the land of Canaan, they get a little complaining. They start complaining. Well, they didn't start there. They've been complaining ever since they left. They were complaining the day after, I think, they left Egypt. And it seemed like they complained a lot. When problems arise, people like to murmur about them. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. You probably don't do that. That's probably for somebody else out there, right? Probably for other Christians do it. Not you. But I've noticed that down through the years, even in my own life, that When we go through problems and trials and tribulations, we have a tendency to murmur about things. We have a tendency to complain about things. We have a tendency to gripe about things. And the Bible says there in verse 1 of chapter 11, and when the people complained, it what? Displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. When you and I complain about things, guess who's listening? God Almighty is listening to our complaints. And I'll tell you right now, I don't care how justified you think you are and all the excuses that you make, God is not happy when we complain. Because we are saying, in essence, that we're not happy with what God has given to us. That we want more. We want something better. We want something newer. We want something more shiny or whatever the case may be. But we're not happy with what we have. We're not content. We have a problem in America today, and it's with contentment. We have a problem in America today. It's called complaining. And we have a problem in our churches today with contentment and complaining. The children of Israel had the problem, and so do we today. It'd be nice if none of us ever complained about anything. Amen. What would our lives be like without complaint? Back a while ago, I challenged our church to see how long you could go before you complained about something. Can we do that again? Ah, why, preacher? I like to complain. I know you do. We all do. But can we challenge one another not to complain about things? Could we go through a week, just a week, from Sunday to Sunday without complaining? Can you go from Sunday to Sunday without complaining about anything? Doug's up there. Nope, I'm hearing other nopes back there. Nope, nope, nope. You know what you're doing? Now, no offense against you guys that are saying, nope, can't do it. You're sitting there with a defeated attitude. Because can you go through the week without complaining? Can I hear that again? We can go through the week without complaining. If we put our minds to it, and if we ask for the Holy Spirit's help, we could go through the week without complaining. But we see things, and we don't have things, and things break down, and immediately we complain about it. We complain about our spouses. We complain about our kids. We complain about our grandkids or great-grandkids. We complain about other church members sometimes. We complain about the government daily. We watch the news. We're complaining about, you fill in the blank. You know who we complain about things. We don't like this state. We don't like things that are going on, and we just complain about them. I want to challenge our church and our visitors here tonight just to go a week without complaining. And then when next Sunday hits, see if you could do it another week. Because you got good practice this week. Amen? Could we do that? Mary, what do you think? Yes. Amen. Right. Amen. When the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. I just want that to resonate in your hearts and minds tonight and through the week. Because when we complain, God is listening. We just saw that in our proverb reading tonight, how God knows our thoughts. He's listening to us. He knows even what we're thinking about. Now, here's a big challenge. Some of us can't do this, but I don't want to be defeated either, but it doesn't count to complain in your mind where nobody can hear it. Nobody can hear me complaining about that, but I'm going to complain about it anyway. No, that doesn't count. Don't even complain in your mind. I really believe that if we're truly filled with the Holy Spirit, we're not going to complain. I'll say that again. I truly believe that if we're really filled with the Holy Spirit, we will not complain. The Lord heard it. Not only did he just hear it in verse 1, his anger was kindled. So not only did he hear it and he was upset about it, it displeased the Lord. He was angry at the complaints. Why was he angry at the complaints? Because these children of Israel, they were unhappy with what God was doing for them. They were unhappy the way the Lord was leading them. They were unhappy with the manna that they started to receive. They were unhappy with what it is that God was doing for them. And so in essence, when you and I complain about something, we are literally complaining about God. Not just complaining about our spouse or our children or our parents or somebody else in a church or the preacher. We're complaining about God. And God doesn't like that. He gets angry over that. He got so angry that he just sent fire out to destroy some of these people that were complainers. Now, it just says the fire of the Lord burnt among them. But it says it consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Let me also say this. You don't want to be on the outside when God gets angry. I like to think about it as people on the periphery. We have people that, even in our church or in our churches, they're there, they're hit and miss. You see them once in a while. They're kind of on the outside. And you know who got burnt the first? The people on the outmost part, the people that were out there. They weren't involved with the rest of the Israelites. They weren't really involved in doing what the rest of them were doing. It tells me there that when you have a good, deep fellowship with your church, with other people, that will help you to keep you, hopefully, from complaining. But sometimes when we're on the outside, we're out there, we're complaining. And the Bible says that the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Philippians 2, 14. Philippians 2:14. We should memorize this verse if you don't already have it memorized. It's one thing, though, to memorize it and then not act upon it. We can memorize the entire Bible. I've known some people that have memorized most of the entire Bible. I know a gentleman that used to come to this church. He had chapters and pages memorized and memorized. It was amazing to sit there and listen to him preach. With all of the verses that he had memorized, I sat there amazed at that. But he fell into gross immoral sin. He just got in touch with me not long ago, which I'm praising the Lord for. He's doing a lot better now. And I'm hoping he asked me if he could talk to me sometime. I said, I'd love to talk with you sometime. I haven't cast him aside. I'd love to try to help him in some way. But it doesn't matter. You could have the entire Bible memorized, and if you don't live it, I'm not saying it's not going to do you any good, but if you don't live what you know, you can know the Scripture, you can know the verse, and ignore it and go on your life and doing whatever it is you're doing. Verse 14 of Philippians 2, it says, do all things without murmurings and disputing. Wait a minute. Do some things without murmurings and disputings? What does your King James Bible say? Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Can we really say we do all things without murmurings and disputings? Can we try? Can we make an attempt? I'm only giving you a 7-day challenge. This whole week. Brennan, when you're working and you're running that machinery, that'll be a challenge, won't it? Yes. TJ, when the Yankees lose, that's tough on TJ. Or Paul or Nathaniel, some of these us Yankee fans here, when they lose, it's like, why did they do that? How come he pulled the pitcher out? So we complain about it, don't we? Yeah, we do. I used to be that way with Syracuse basketball. If they lost, I went in mourning for a week. Your father was similar to me. Your dad, Pastor Overton, was like that. He loved Syracuse basketball. And I think I got that from him, I guess. I don't know. But we would mourn when our team would lose. We would just go into mourning, and we would complain and grumble and gripe. And some of you football fans, I hear you doing it here in church. Yeah, I hear you. So does God hear you. I may not get that angry, but God, according to the Bible, does get angry. So we got to be careful about that. Go back to our text there in Numbers chapter 11, verse 2. And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. That always amazed me that Moses was able to pray. And I mean, either water came out of the rock or the fire was quenched. God at times said to Moses, I'm going to kill them all, Moses. And I'm going to start a brand new nation just with you. Now, most of us would have said, yeah, do it, God. I'm tired of their complaining also. Wipe them out, God, and start with fresh with me. But Moses didn't. He never did that. He says, God, don't do that. You know that you can't do that. You know what they're going to say back in Egypt when you wipe them all out? That's going to be a terrible testimony to all of the people in the tribes around us. Moses would go to God and literally plead, and God would listen to him. You know what that tells me? God answers prayer. When you go to God and you plead with God and you pray to God and you're begging for God to do something, you're asking Him to help you, do you know that God listens to you? He listens to you. And God does in His own will. He performs, He takes care of those that prayer that you have. We could go around this room and I'm sure that we'd have lots of testimony of how God has answered prayer in your own personal life. Specifics, not just, he's just a blessed God. No, specifics. You could give specific answers to prayer that you prayed about and God answered. And you know 100% it was of God. Right? How many of you could say that right now? Many of you. Look at those hands going up all over the room. Many of you would be able to specifically say, yes, God answered in this area right here. And you could give examples of that. Well, Moses, he pleads for the people. He prays unto the Lord, and the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. That word Taberah just simply means a burning. Now, it's not. I don't know. I didn't search this out. I should have, but it's not recorded in some of the other places in the Scripture. So it's not like a physical. It was a physical place at the time, but it was pretty much designed for that particular happening. There. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. Here we go. We got another problem. And the children of Israel also wept again. See the word again? He did it again. And said, who shall give us flesh to eat? And here's the problem that I wanted to bring to your attention tonight. Verse 5. We remember. We remember. What are they remembering? Well, they're remembering the fish that they used to eat. Do you know the Nile has some great fish in it? I looked this up today. Do you know there's the African tiger fish in the Nile? The mudfish, the bunda catfish, a lot of catfish in the Nile. The Nile perch is probably the best tasting fish in the Nile River. The biggest fish that you can catch out of the Nile River is the Nile perch. It can get up to 6 feet long and weigh 400 pounds. Now that's a catch. That's a meal. And they say that the Nile perch has got this wonderful tasting white meat and it's almost boneless. So you can imagine the amount of meat you're going to get off the Nile perch. I like perch anyway. I like the perch out of Cuga Lake. It's good, but the Nile had some amazing fish in it. And what the Israelites are doing, they're remembering back. Boy, we used to love those fish fries we had with all of the fixing, fish and fries and all of the other stuff, all the goodies. They probably made their own homemade tartar sauce, right? You like a good fish fry? I like a good fish fry. The little hush puppies that goes along with it. They probably made that out of manna, right? They took the manna and they made hush puppies. And so they had the fish, you had fries. I don't know if they had fries. But they had an amazing amount of food when they lived in Egypt. The Egyptians took care of them when it came to food. They had enough food to take care of themselves and their family. And they're going back and they're remembering what it used to be like. Not only the fish, they said, boy, can you remember those juicy cucumbers? Boy, they used to get so big and we'd slice them up and we'd put them in our salad. Do you remember the salads that we used to eat in Egypt? Oh, I love those salads that we used to eat in Egypt. They were just covered with cucumbers and we loved those cucumbers. Those cucumbers were great. They were wonderful. I wish we had a cucumber now. They're going through and they're remembering things. And the melons. Oh, the melons. The melons were amazing. I mean, the watermelons were huge. And the muskmelons and the honeydews, they were amazing. We just loved the... Do you remember the honeydew melons? Yes. Do you remember the watermelons? Yes. We had a wonderful time eating our fish, our salad, and our dessert. And how about those leeks and onions? Man, that topped off. Judd, do you like onions? Yeah. He doesn't like onions. But I'm telling you, boy, those leeks and onions, they topped off the salad. They were good. Not only that, but the garlic. Oh, you could smell the garlic cooking in those tents. You could smell the garlic cooking outside. They take that garlic and they chop it up and they put it in their sauce with their spaghetti. And they loved it. They would put it on their fish. They would put it all over the place. They loved garlic in Egypt. And the Israelites liked it too. I mean, we like garlic. You like garlic? I like garlic. I think with that manna, they made garlic bread. Right? To go along with the fish and the fries and the hush puppies and the salad. And they ate well in Egypt. They simply had a good amount of food in Egypt. Now, Judd wouldn't have the onions or the leeks, but he'd eat the melon and you'd eat the fish. You like garlic? Real men eat garlic, Judd. Real men eat garlic, Judd. Garlic is good. We like garlic. The Bible says there now, but now our soul is dried away. We're back complaining again. There's nothing at all. We don't have anything at all to eat. Oh, well, we got this manna that God has given to us, but we're getting to the point where we don't like it anymore. We're eating it all the time. It's like eating a bowl of cereal every day because that's all you have to eat. Or it's like eating something that the only thing that you can afford is, I don't know, just something, one dish that you eat all the time because that's all you can afford or whatever the case may be. And they says, we've got this manna, but we're getting tired of that. We don't like it anymore. God has been giving it to us, but do you know that manna was all they really needed to sustain their life? It had every vegetable or every vitamin and mineral in it that their bodies needed. God made it that way. And the reason I can say that is God made our bodies. God knows what our bodies need when it comes to vitamins and minerals. And I can tell you that manna was the best protein drink you could ever drink. It was the best thing that you could eat or drink because it was made by God. It came down every single day. It was new every morning, just like our mercies are new every morning. We get new mercies every day. Amen. Every single morning, guess what came down? Every single morning, there was brand new manna every day. It wasn't stale. It wasn't a day old. If they let it sit around and they tried to keep it for a day, what happened to it? It stank. It was covered with worms. It was spoiled. The only day that they could do that, the only time they could do that was on a Friday before the Sabbath because you couldn't go out and gather manna on the Sabbath. But you got it on. You got a double helping on Friday. God made it that way. These Israelites should have been content and happy. They should have never complained about what God gave them. But what are they doing? They're complaining about what God gave them. They're remembering. They're remembering back to something that they had back in Egypt. Here's our problem, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes we remember back to what we used to do in the world. We remember back into our, I'll say it just for the sake of saying it, to our previous life before salvation. And we allow our minds to go back and think back there. We should never ever, we should always never forget where you came from, but never want to go back to where you were. But that's what the Israelites were doing. They wanted to go back. They were constantly thinking about what it was like to be in Egypt. Remember, wait a minute, guys, do you remember we were slaves here? Do you remember what we were doing? Do you remember how they beat us and how they made us work and build their pyramids and their temples and all? Do you remember what we went through when we were there in Egypt? Or are you just remembering the things that you want to remember just so you can complain about God? That's sometimes what we do. They remembered the fish, and they remembered the food that they ate, and they remembered this, and they got tired of what God was supplying for them. The Bible describes what this manna is. We see it over in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 15 is the first mention of manna in the Bible. But it says, and the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of bdellium. It's like a pearl color, I think. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills or beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Every day, they got some fresh, new manna. But they didn't like that. They got tired of that. Folks, don't ever get tired of what God does for you. Don't ever get tired of your salvation. Don't ever get tired of your forgiveness that God has done for you. Don't ever get tired of reading the Bible. Preacher, that's all he talks about is reading the Bible every day, every day, every day. If I don't read the Bible every day, I just feel guilty. If I don't read the Bible every day, I just know the preacher's going to ask me why I don't read the Bible every day. I got to pray every day. I got to read the Bible every day. The preacher wants me here every Sunday and every Wednesday. He wants my tithe. I don't want your tithe. I don't want your missions. That's what God desires. I only want you in your Bible every day so you can know more about God. That's all I want. Don't read your Bible because the preacher wants you to read your Bible, or Brother Hardman wants you to read your Bible, or somebody else wants. Read it because you want to read it. Don't get tired of reading your Bible. Don't let it become a whole, I got to read the Bible again today. If I don't, somebody's going to know about it, and I'm going to feel guilty. No, read it every day expecting some new, fresh manna. Every morning when you open up that book, say, Lord, here's your brand new manna. And just read it and ask for God to give you something fresh. That's how we need to read our Bibles. Don't get tired of reading your Bibles. Don't get tired of coming to church. Some of us have been in church most of our lives. Some of us have been reading our Bibles and we've read it through several times. And folks, I don't ever get tired of reading my Bible. It helps me in life. It helps me with decisions. It helps me to keep my brain in gear. It helps me to keep my heart right with God. It gives me direction in life. It tells me what I need to be doing for God. It keeps me from doing some things that I shouldn't be doing in this life. Don't ever get tired of reading your Bible. Don't let it become something that you just loathe. You just don't want to do it anymore. Don't get tired of praying. Please don't ever get tired of giving. God has been given to you all these years that you've been alive. God just keeps giving you every morning. He gives you new mercies. His faithfulness is great. God has been blessing you. Even if you don't think He's been blessing you, He blesses you. Don't get tired of God. Don't get tired of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Don't get tired of the blood. Don't get tired of the preaching. Don't get tired of what God is trying to call you to do or do for you. Don't get tired of that. Every morning they got new manna. Every day you need to get something fresh from God. Every day. Say, Lord, here I am. I need some manna. I need some refreshment. I need some vitamins and some nutrients, spiritually speaking today, to keep my soul and my spirit going. You need vitamins and nutrients every day for your body to continue on and for you to have the strength and the stamina that you need to do whatever it is you're doing, to keep your blood healthy and to keep your brain healthy and to keep all the other things that you in your body that just to keep your body functioning, don't you? Every day we need that. Well, every day you need some fresh manna from God's Word. Don't get tired of it. Don't say, I remember my past life. I remember what I used to do. I remember. No. There are some things that we need not to remember anymore. Number one is the world. We don't need to remember what the world was like before that. There, Israelites got a problem. They're remembering the world. Egypt is a type of the world. And they're going back and remembering that. The world is no good, folks. We're talking about the world system. We're talking about the philosophy of the world. That's when we say about the world, when the Bible speaks of the world, love not the world, Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, love of the Father is not in him. That's the philosophy. That's what the world is trying to push on all of us. You might say that's the woke nonsense that we hear about constantly, that the government is trying to ram down our throats. Every day we're hearing this crazy nonsense that's the world trying to tell us what to do. The world's no good. The world is sinful. The world is rotten. I like what, look at Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. We were there this morning briefly, and we're just going to go back there tonight. Real quick, one verse, Hebrews 11. Look at verse 25, Hebrews 11, 25, talking about Moses. Verse 24 says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. What does the world have to offer tonight? Just that. A little bit of pleasure for a little bit of time. And all it is, it's a fleshly pleasure. It's something that is temporary. It doesn't give you anything that's lasting whatsoever. So we're not to remember the world. We're to forget about the world, because it has nothing good to offer. The old life that we used to have. Go over to Philippians chapter 3. Boy, I'm thankful I'm not living that old life that I used to live. You ought to be thankful that you're not living the same way that you used to live. Before salvation, what was it like? After salvation, what is it like? Isn't it better now than it was before? Amen? Philippians chapter 3. Verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth. Forget about that old life that you had. That was your old sinful life. That was before you got saved. You're now living a life that is pleasing to God. I hope you're living a life that's pleasing to God. We should be living a life that is pleasing to God. Forget about that world. Forget about that old life. Forget about the old fleshly desires that you used to have. That's the fish, the cucumbers, the leeks, the garlic, the melons. That's that old flesh trying to rear its head in your life. You know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm saying. There are some things in our life that we should forget. I wish it was that easy. There's some things it's hard to forget. How about some things to remember tonight? Quickly. How about our salvation? I said that this morning. I won't spend a lot of time on that. But remember your salvation. Remember the day that the Lord came by and tapped on your heart, spoke to you, convicted you of your sin. You trusted, you repented, you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Remember that day. That is a very good day. That's the day that you decided for Jesus Christ and not for the world and not for the flesh and not for the devil. That's the day that you were adopted out of the family of the devil and placed into the family of God. That's the day that Jesus started His construction crew working on your mansion. That's the time in which God was preparing that place for you. He took all your sins on that day and He washed them away, completely gone. All your sins before you were saved, completely gone. Remember your salvation. David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit in Psalm 51 and verse 12. How many times did Paul the Apostle, I forget exactly the number, how many times did he give his testimony when he was out preaching in the book of Acts? Just giving his testimony. This is what happened to me on the road to Damascus. All of a sudden I saw this light and I heard this person say to me, and I said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And Paul gives his testimony as to how he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. Amen. Remember your salvation. Remember the day that you got saved. Maybe you don't have the date written down. I don't have the date written down. When I got saved, nobody said, hey, write this date down and never forget it. I just don't know the date, but I do know I'm saved. Remember the promises of God. We sing a hymn called Standing on the Promises. Do we? We really stand on His promises? A guy by the name of Herbert Lockyer wrote a book entitled All the Promises of the Bible, and he's got over 8,000 promises recorded in his book from the Word of God. Over 8,000 promises. That's a lot of promises. And my Bible tells me that when God makes a promise, he can't lie. All those promises in this book. The entire book is filled with promises, and there's not one in there that you're not going to be, or not going to have a part of. Remember God's promises. Now, some of God's promises, I know, are conditional, and many are unconditional. But remember the promises. Remember our salvation. Remember our Bible. Just remember this book every day of your life. Pick it up every day. Read something from the Word of God. And just remember when you're reading, you're getting fresh manna. And God wants to just nourish you with His Word through the Holy Spirit. Remember God in prayer. Remember the Lord's coming back one of these days. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that. I'm just looking forward to moving into heaven. I'm looking forward to getting out of this world and moving into the next. I'm looking forward to that. I'm hoping and praying. I hear a real loud trumpet sound and the voice of the archangel. I'd like to go that way, but I'll go to heaven any way I can get there. The other alternative outside of the rapture is death, but I'll take that too. I'm in a win-win situation. If I die before the rapture, I win. If the rapture comes, I win. I can't lose. You're saved, you can't lose. Amen. It's a pretty good deal that God has given to us. If you're not saved here tonight, get saved. Because if you don't get saved, you're in a lose-lose. Lose-lose-lose situation. You die, you lose, you go to hell. If the rapture happens and you're still here during the tribulation period, you'll lose too. You don't want to be here during the tribulation period. You do not want to be here during the 7-year tribulation period. You do not want to be here for that. Well, I think I'll just get saved and everything will be okay. Oh, no. No, 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 no. You may not get saved. You may take the mark of the beast and you may never make it through the tribulation period. You don't want to be. Read the book of Revelation, please, if you haven't read it already. You don't want to go through what the world is going to go through. It'll be the worst time for man ever. Worse than before the flood. No human being is going to want to go through the tribulation period during that time. Nobody. I'm glad I'm not going through it. There's a bunch of people out there teaching that we're going to go through it. They want to go through it, they can go through it. I'm not going through it. At least according to what my Bible teaches. Amen. Just remember some things, the good things of God. Just don't forget. Let's not remember the world. Let's not remember what we used to have in the world. Let's not get tired of the manna that we get every day. Let's use it for God's honor, for God's glory. I believe that the Israelites probably got pretty used to it, of course. And I think that after a while, they were able to take that and make a whole bunch of different things from it, I guess. I don't know. But let's not get to that point like the Israelites were, where they complained, they murmured, they grumbled and griped. You read some through the next few pages, and that's what you see in the book of Numbers. You see more complaining. You see more grumbling and griping. You see the next chapter over, you find out why they went through the wilderness for 40 years. Because they complained about the giants. Joshua and Caleb said, no, 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 guys, we can take them. We have God on our side. And the rest of them says, no, they're too big. We're as grasshoppers in their sight. They're going to destroy us. They're going to hurt us. They're going to kill us or whatever. Joshua and Caleb tried to stop them. But nevertheless, the people be strong. And the people convinced the rest of them, including God, that they can't go through. They can't go in and take the promised land. God says, okay, For the next 40 years, you're going to wander through the wilderness, and every one of you are going to die. Those first 10, the 10 people, 12 went to spy out the land. Those 10 people were the first people that died. And there were funerals every day for the next 40 years in the wilderness. Every day. I forget the number. There was a number of funerals every day that Moses probably had to preach. I don't know how they did all of that, but it was just total destruction because of their disobedience. Let's not be like the Israelites. Let's act like Bible Christians. Let's act like people that really love the Lord. Let's act like Bible believers, and let's act like we really love Jesus Christ, and we love His Word, and we love His church, and we love His prayer. Let's just act like we're supposed to act. And can we go this week without complaining? How many of you would like to try to do that? Would you like to try to go through the next week? We're going to do it, right? All right, Kathy and I. Right, Kath? All right. Oh, I will, she says. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, she did. She has to remind me of a lot of things. Yeah. Listen, let's do it. Let's not complain about anything. Let's be thankful for what God has given to us. We all have more than we need. We all have lots of stuff. Listen, I think most of us are well off when it comes to food. I know Liz needs another van, and she's trying to get another van she's not going to complain about it, though, are you? Paul brings home an old, beat-up, rusty, 300,000-mile van. There may be a fight in that household, but we'll get through it, right? There'll be no complaining. You get her a nice van. She deserves a nice van, not a piece of junk. She's my daughter. You get her a nice van. You hear me? Okay. She needs a nice Chrysler Pacifica, 2019. That's what she wants. That's what she wants. You get her one. You better get it. All right. Let's close this up. Father, thank you again for being with us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. And Lord, I do pray and I ask, Lord, that you would help this church, all of us that's here tonight, to go through these next several days without complaining. Lord, I know what it does to you. It's a slap in your face.